Welcome to the Workplace Wellbeing Podcast, the podcast that looks at the best practices of organisations that care about their people, whilst keeping an eye on the growing wellbeing space. The Workplace Wellbeing Podcast is sponsored by the WorkTech Group, which offers a range of cloud-based software solutions that have a positive impact on employee wellbeing. The group companies are Fast PAYE, a financial wellbeing tool, Solved by AI, which builds artificial intelligence-powered tools that can make a real difference for your workforce, and ShopWorks, which makes scheduling and time and attendance solutions that will help both efficiency and morale. You can find out more at worktechgroup.com.
Chapter 1, which is about values and purpose. As I mentioned at the top of the show when I was outlining the structure of our podcast slash book, a theme that came up time and again was that well-run organisations are happier places to work. Several of our contributors talked about the impact of values and purpose on well-being, and I personally think it's a great place to start. In episode 1, I interviewed Sir Terry Leahy, who is an investor in the WorkTech Group, but he's best known for taking Tesco's from being the third biggest retailer in the UK to the third biggest in the world. Sir Terry and I were discussing his book, Management in 10 Words, and the subject of values came up. Here is how the conversation went.
In your book, you discuss 10 key words, and together these cover the areas that you believe a business manager should focus on. And one of those 10 words, and arguably the most important, is values. Okay, so you mentioned in your book that profits stem from a company's values, not its day-to-day business. And also, and I'm going to quote, "Of all the things I did, communicating our values and strategy to our managers had perhaps the greatest benefit." So the question is, Tesco's values obviously had a big commercial impact. For those that haven't read your book, why do you think that is?
Well, telling the brand, the thing that's valuable, is created by the staff who work in the business and look after customers every day in every branch around the country or indeed around the world. So those employees who create the brand, deliver the brand experience, which ultimately means the business, in order to get up every day and do that, they have to be really committed to the business. They have to believe in something. They have to feel that what the business, in this case Tesco, stands for, matters to them. And also that they have got an important part to play in that. And so, you know, strategies and budgets and plans can't really communicate that. This is something that's got to appeal to the heart, not the head. And values do that, I found, more effectively, because it lays out what's important for the business, the rules that the business will live by. And then an individual, a person, can decide whether they agree with that, whether they want to be part of that. Most do, and some don't, actually. But that's good, too. And then that allows people, you know, to choose a different place, different job to do.
In episode 9 of series 1, Why Having a Purpose is Key to Wellbeing, I spoke to James Bowl, founder and captain of Purposeful, a company that helps organisations find their purpose. James is passionate about the impact of purpose on well-being, and I asked him a question about the link between the two.
And, you know, it sounds to me like you would argue that if somebody was trying to get themselves an employee well-being strategy together, the first place for they should start is to look at their purpose. It sounds to me you would make that argument. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think it's foundational. So whether or not you do it first, like if you... I think PayPal have had a lot of success with this. They're quite a purpose-led business. And they realized that having people working in their contact centers on very low wage meant that they weren't able to act purposefully. They raised the salaries they pay in their contact centers and brought in financial well-being for all of their team members very quickly, because they found that kind of financial illiteracy was causing a lot of their people problems, and for an organization that managed payments, that's obviously a challenge. So what I would say is, if you recognize that you've got a problem in your team with something like financial competence, then you don't have to wait until you've defined a purpose to solve that. Like, clearly, if there's a problem, you have a moral duty, I think, as a leader in an organization to solve it. But if you build that strong foundation of having a clear purpose, it helps you make congruent decisions over the long term and helps make the other things you do more successful. So, I would start with that why, as Simon Sinek said all those years ago.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it sounds to me like, you know, it's an easy and obvious step for any business, but, you know, I'm sure there must be pitfalls, otherwise we wouldn't have unhappy workplaces. so I wonder if you could just, talk me through some of the challenges that need to be overcome to ensure that one obtains a benefit from defining and communicating a purpose.
Yeah, I mean, I think the key to it is authenticity. So Purposeful's definition of a purpose, the four A's of purpose, is adapted from work by the Beacon Institute. And we've added the first A of authenticity to it, because the biggest problem with purpose today is that it's a bit of a
buzz. That was chapter 1 of 12. So hopefully you're getting the idea of the structure. It's basically a selection of clips grouped by subject.